Bullseye on the afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Andy Bulbarch, Matt Douglas with you for about another 45 minutes or so before Buckeye Roundtable comes your way. We need to head back to the hotline to welcome in our very next guest, Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood guru, joining us on the hotline. Michael, as always, we appreciate you joining us. And, well, a lot to get into today. At the box office, Joker led the way for a second straight weekend, but there was also a pretty disappointing showing at the box office from Gemini Man. What kinds of things are you hearing about this movie, and is it safe to call this a large disappointment for its opening weekend?
I think it's definitely safe to say that's a huge disappointment. This was an interesting movie when the trailer started coming out, teaming Will Smith up with Academy Award-winning director Ang Lee, had a lot of potential there. It's kind of an interesting plot where Will Smith plays a super soldier who finds out that he was secretly cloned, and there is a younger version of himself that is a digitally de-aged version of Will Smith that he eventually has to track down and team up with. This movie did not get very good reviews coming out of the box. I think a lot of people criticize the plot, but one of the major things that was pointed out is for the second film in a row, Ang Lee used a 120 frame per second rate to film the movie. So this is like how you film a 3D movie, but it was captured in 2D. So it kind of gives it the effect of like if you have motion smoothing on your TV, where it just kind of creates a sort of surreal effect. And I think that took a lot of people out of the movie to begin with. And it was something that he struggled with in his last movie as well, Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk, a movie that only made $2 million in America on a huge budget. And so this is a big disappointment for him coming off of that to have this happen again. And it's looking like a huge loss for the studio. Even if this movie gets to about $200 million worldwide, it's still going to be a big loss for Paramount. They're still going to come out in the red on it. So it's a big disappointment. I think it'll be interesting to see what kind of effect it has on Will Smith, who we've seen his star fade just a little bit of late. I don't think that he pulls in viewers the way or moviegoers the way that he used to. We're sort of expecting him to be kind of like Denzel Washington, where you can sort of put him in any action movie and he'll have a legion of fans to go see it. But clearly this showed that that's not the case. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of the long-term fallout from this is, but certainly a major, major disappointment for the director and the studio.
On the other end of the spectrum, the Joker has been anything but a disappointment. Certainly seems as though it has exceeded expectations, and the hype was pretty strong going into last weekend. How much longer do you think we can expect the Joker to claim the top spot at the box office?
I think that's a good question. A lot of the tracking on the way that the movie is performed at the box office showed that it's on pace with similar superhero movies like Wonder Woman and Black Panther. And it's also been one of the most successful October movies in a long time since Gravity way back in 2013. So it's been a while since we've had a movie this strong at this time of year. As to how long it'll stay at the top of the box office, I'm not sure. This weekend it has a pretty big challenge from two movies. First of all, there's the Zombieland sequel, Zombieland Double Tap, which is coming out, which will probably bring in a decent number of people that have already seen Joker. But there's also a new Maleficent film with Angelina Jolie, which I think will also be a big performer at the box office as it sort of pulls in more of a family audience that, granted, wouldn't be going to see Joker, but will certainly pull more money and more press as a new release. So I don't think it will top the box office this weekend, but I don't think it would be out of the realm of possibility to see it finish second. Or frankly, it could pull an upset here if both movies underperform, but I don't see that happening. I see these both as pretty major releases that have a chance to kind of knock it off of that perch.
I had totally forgotten about the second Zombieland coming out this weekend. And I know that's one of Al Harris's favorite movies of all time, so I won't badmouth it too much. But I also did see, too, that Bill Murray may play a small role in that as well.
They kill him in the last one.
Yeah.
Well, they bring him back.
You know, it's Zombieland, right? So I guess.
Well, sure,
you know,
but he didn't get eaten by a zombie. He gets shot in the head.
He gets shot, yeah.
Well, shot in the head.
Well, he gets shot, period. Yes. But I thought Bill Murray was far and away the best part of the first Zombieland.
He was good.
But, yeah.
My favorite part in that is where they ask him if he had any regrets. Garfield. I thought that was brilliant.
The guy is such a legend. Such
Mike,
a legend.
Real quick, just on Zombieland. Do you think it's been, 10 years since the first one came out? I mean, expectations, I feel, are almost going to be too high for it to meet. Do you think it can do it?
I am cautiously optimistic that it will. I think some of the early sequel or trailers have shown that it takes a lot of the sense of humor of the original and doesn't take itself too seriously. So we'll see. A lot has changed in the time since that movie premiered. Obviously, Jesse Eisenberg had a lot of success with Social Network. Emma Stone's an Oscar winner now, and Woody Harrelson has had a big career renaissance. So I think it's certainly going to do well at the box office. I'm hoping that it's as funny as I'm expecting it to be, but I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Well, another comedy coming out this week. As a matter of fact, it'll debut in some places over the next couple of days. We've got that Jay and Silent Bob reboot, and I'm excited about this. What kinds of expectations do you have for this reboot?
I think that they should be pretty high for fans of Kevin Smith and his view askew universe that he's built over his 25-year career. I think that it was a little bit of a surprise when the movie was announced that he would be sort of going back to these characters, but reading some interviews with him and sort of going into a little bit of background on where this movie came from, it starts to make a lot of sense. He had a major heart attack last year where he nearly died, had about a 20% chance of survival, and came out on the other side. And his quote that I saw was, and I'm paraphrasing, was basically like, "I need to make a better movie than the last one that I've made." And I think a lot of his fans have been a little disappointed in his more recent output. So it's good to see him going back to his roots, these characters that were a part of his first movie, Clerks, and have been such a big part of his films throughout the year, and of course years, and of course having their own original film, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, which is a pretty old movie at this point as well. But it sounds like this one has a lot of heart. It brings a lot of characters and actors from his previous movies back. It has his daughter, Harley Quinn Smith, featured in a starring role. So I think it's a very personal project for him, and I think for fans of Kevin Smith and his movies, this is one to be excited about, and certainly seems like he's putting a lot of really positive, good energy into making it.
Yoga Hosers? Was that the name of the last movie that he made? Was that what it was called?
Yes, it was. Yes.
Yeah.
And that's his quote was basically, the last movie I can't or make can't be Yoga Hosers. He had to go out and do something else. Yeah.
I'm excited about this, only because I thought the other movies were just hilarious, and I can't imagine this one being any different. So I'm really excited to see this Jay and Silent Bob reboot. Seems like it's going to be awesome. All right, I've got to ask you about something else here, because this isn't necessarily something I've followed much recently, and I saw this pop up a couple days ago. Are these Nielsen Live Plus 7 ratings becoming the new measuring stick in the TV industry? And I guess we can start with this. For those that don't know what that is exactly, can you explain?
Yeah, so basically the Nielsen Plus 7 ratings are, you have your standard Nielsen ratings, which are television viewership, and usually you'll see the overnight figures after a big event like the Super Bowl or the Oscars of how many people tuned in. But what we've seen more and more of in the last several years is a rise in importance of these Nielsen Plus 7 ratings, which basically give you a whole week's worth of ratings. And why this has become more and more prevalent is we've started to have more and more streaming services. Hulu is, you know, a pretty massive streaming platform at this point. So a lot of these streaming platforms dramatically shift the viewership. And it's kind of a change similar to what we saw years ago when DVR and TiVo started to become prevalent, you'd see more and more people who weren't watching their shows when they aired, but rather watching them at their own convenience. And that's really only increased over the last few years with the streaming services and with all the millennials who are cord-cutting and time-shifting their views and all that sort of thing. So it's a really big thing for showrunners, for studios to have going into a network and saying, you know, our viewership on the night of may not have been great, but if you look at this plus seven rating, it increases by this much. And for some shows, there's a lot riding on that. In the 2018-2019 season, there were two dozen series that at least doubled their ratings after 7 days, and particularly in the 18 to 49 age demographic, which is the most important for advertisers. So as people are watching TV at their own pace and at their own schedule, these numbers are going to become more and more important. You'll see a lot more TV shows that we've already seen it are making the jump from broadcast networks onto streaming because that's where their audience is, or we're seeing shows that have small overnight ratings that are, greatly impacted by the streaming. So I think that it's something that is important now and is going to continue to be more important, and certainly an interesting metric to be tracking for your favorite TV shows.
Why has it taken so long to kind of adapt this method? I remember back in the, late 2006s, 7s, Arrested Development, it suffered with the ratings, but it was the most downloaded, most DVR'd show out there, and unfortunately, it kind of got caught up in it and ended up getting canceled after 3 years on Fox and was eventually picked up by Netflix. But it seems like this has taken a process. Why do you think they were so kind of far behind on this?
I think part of it is that we're seeing more and more of these major corporations, I guess, that own all of these studios and networks are starting to streamline their product a little bit more. You have a lot less cases where for a long time you'd have television studios who would make shows, and then if they couldn't sell them to like their own parent company, so like if you had ABC Studios that developed a show and ABC decided to pass on it, they would potentially sell it to NBC, to CBS, to another network to have that. But more and more, it makes sense for these companies to keep as much in-house as possible to make as much money as possible. So I think that because there has been such a streamlining in things, you see these companies paying more and more attention to these numbers because there's a lot riding on it. When you own the company that's making the show and the company that's airing it, that's twice the revenue stream. So you want to be able to bolster those numbers as much as possible, whether that's with Nielsen 7 days, with 3 days, which are also fairly notable. But I think that's a big part of it. But I also think it's just a shifting landscape that, I don't think a majority of houses necessarily had DVR, but I think now a majority of homes do at least one streaming service. And so that certainly has a big impact on it.
Following up on that, do you see those like CBS Access and what NBC is about to do with the streaming service? Do you see those as maybe possible places for shows like, say, Arrested Development again to land? Maybe it's not doing so well in the ratings, but it's got that cult following, so to speak. Do you think it'll fall over to some of those things?
Absolutely. I think there's been a little bit of precedent already. You have The Good Fight on the CBS All Access platform, a sequel show to The Good Wife, which had a lot of critical acclaim, but not always the ratings to back it up on CBS. But more notably and more recently on Peacock, NBC's new streaming network, they picked up a third season of the show AP Bio, which had been canceled by NBC proper just a few weeks before. But its large streaming audience and fans were able to save the show and get it on that network. So I think it'll be certainly a more common thing. But again, that's where these plus seven ratings come in. Like the shows have to deliver that larger audience over a longer period of time before they bring them back. But they certainly have proof then that people are streaming it and will have no problem continuing to stream it.
Michael, before we let you go, we've got to get this week's picks to click. Seems like there are a lot of options now that you've got all of the fall premieres that have already passed, and seems like there's a lot to watch this week.
There is, and a couple of big premieres coming this weekend. First, on Amazon Prime this Friday, you can watch Modern Love. It's a new anthology series from John Carney, who wrote Once, and it's based off the New York Times column of the same name. It has a bunch of major stars, including Anne Hathaway, Tina Fey, Dev Patel, and many more, so that is a big one to check out. But one of the most notable big fall premieres is this weekend. It's Watchmen on HBO. This show picks up after the events of the iconic graphic novel and is one of the most anticipated shows of the year. HBO has a lot riding on this. They put Damon Lindelof, who was in charge of Lost and The Leftovers, in charge of this show. So very high expectations, and certainly a very big premiere to check out on Sunday night.
Great stuff. Michael, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to doing this again next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Michael. Again, that's Michael Warshaw, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.